This is God's Word coming to you from Christ Family Ministry, the best place to be where love is king. It's one gospel, one faith, reaching one person at a time, and together we're filling the earth with the beautiful message of our Lord Jesus Christ, presenting every man mature in Him.
Our hearts are open, ready to receive. We receive eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that can understand. Lord, my tongue I yield to you like the pen of a ready writer, that you inscribe spiritual truths upon our hearts tonight. Thank you because our eyes will see, our ears will hear, our hearts will understand. I give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, we're going to continue the series, amen, thank you, on the message on Sunday, and we'll round up today, about what I titled, God has found a substitute, has found a ransom. If you understand this singular teaching, it is one of the greatest faith boosters. It is one of the things that will cause your relationship with God, are you with me, to experience a quantum leap. And it will make it easy to receive from God. It will make it easy to fellowship with Him. It will make it easy for you to understand who God is and how God operates. Praise the Lord. Last Sunday we said, one of the questions people often ask is, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do people, in quote, who are seemingly innocent, suffer the fate of the wrong of others? Are you with me? And we said that most questions of that sort begins to stream from a lack of proper understanding of God. And you can find enshrined in it, in such questions, anger. Are you with me? So we're able to trace all the way to Genesis to see how Cain and Abel approached God and how anger was welling up in Cain's heart. We say there's an acceptable way to worship God. There's an acceptable way to approach God. That if we miss, we might not be able to explain certain events and how things happen in life. So Hebrews 11, verse 4. The Bible tells us that by faith, Abel offered to God a more what? Excellent sacrifice than Cain. We saw this on Sunday. Through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. The Bible says, in the process of time, Cain and Abel came to worship God. Now, I want to take off, I want to just say something that we said on Sunday, and then we will buttress on a point there and then, you know, proceed. The moment Adam fell, shame, guilt, condemnation were the immediate effect of the fall. The Bible says, when he heard God's voice, he hid himself. And that's the reason a lot of people still run from God. Condemnation, right? I'm not good enough. I have failed God. I am not worthy to come before Him. And we began to see last Sunday that Adam's sin did not stop God from doing what? From coming to him. Because it's God's desire to fellowship with us. And let me say something that will surprise us. God's desire to fellowship with man is greater than man's fault. How many of you have heard, because there's too much sin, God is not there? If you look into God's heart, he's finding ways to reach those people. He's finding ways he can get across to them. So sin, listen now, sin cannot be too much for God to want to reach out to man. But you see, man has to worship God and approach God in his own way. What was man's natural response at the fall? Man's first response was to make for himself fig leaves, plant life. You know, coverings to cover himself. And that is where secular humanism traces its roots. When we are trying to do something to fill an empty void in our hearts, where people think that a degree will make them cover an inner shame or guilt. When we're running the series, How to Be Happy and Successful, How to Live a Happy and Successful Life, one of the things we were looking at in that study is this, that until a man has peace on the inside, he cannot truly begin to walk out eternal life to get results. So a lot of people feel that if I work hard, if I get things, if people praise me, if I have a position in society, are you listening to me? I will eventually find some form of significance. I eventually find some form of peace. People think that if they give out things, they will be able to eventually suit their conscience. Are you with me? And say, okay, I've done something. No. As good as those things are, the way to truly be successful and happy is that it has to come from the inside out. Is that first of all, in your heart, you have to believe that Jesus has paid the price and met the just claims with God. And that God is not angry with you again. And that God, according to Isaiah 54, is forever satisfied with you. When you accept in your heart the total forgiveness of your sins, that peace in your heart is what you begin to walk from the inside out. Are you getting what I'm saying? Anybody understand what I'm saying? So you are at rest with yourself. So whether you have things or you do not have things, there is what? There is peace. Figs cannot cover what? Cannot cover sin. And God has spoken to Adam in very clear terms. The day you sin, you will die. But listen now. To keep Adam from dying, God instituted his way of man approaching him. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 that he took, killed it and made tunics or made clothes for Adam. So in place, now get the progression. In place of figs, what is figs? Plant life. In place of plant life, God gave him what? Blood. Animal life. And that is God's acceptable way of worshiping him. Are you with me? Now, I personally believe that Adam taught his children. Anytime you want to worship God, how do you worship him? You worship him through blood. But scripture tells us, and that is faith. Scripture tells us that in the presence of time, the boys went to worship, or the men. Because as at the time that Cain and Abel are going to offer sacrifices to God, Bible historians tell us that they were about 300 to 400 years old. Are you with me? So these were not children. These were old men. When Cain and Jacob and Esau were trading pots of soup for birthright, it is said that Cain was about, Esau was about 90-something years old. So there were men. I want you to get a picture that these things that we're talking about are not some secondary school boys. Are you with me? These are men. So I want you to see over time, Abel, the Bible says, offered a more excellent sacrifice. I've heard some Bible teachers say that word sacrifice there, that is what you have you can give. No. It's not what you have you can give. is what is required that you should give. You know, there are two different things. It's not what you have that you can give. It's what is required that you should give. What is required? What is required is blood. Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. The word sacrifice there, the root meaning, is to immolate, to cut, to sever. Now, that's to kill. We don't kill yam, we peel it. Are you getting me? And plant life does not have blood. So if the word sacrifice is there, it means there is blood involved. What Abel brought is not just a gift. What Abel brought is a sacrifice. That word sacrifice is the same word used in Ephesians chapter 5. Go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, verse 2 says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice. Now, I want you to get the connection. What did Christ offer? Offered himself as an offering. He offered himself as a sacrifice. Offering, sacrifice. Was Jesus plant life? Was Jesus just a gift? So when you read an offering and sacrifice, what comes to your mind? What comes to your mind is blood. Jesus shed his blood for us on the cross. So the Bible says, to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. A sweet-smelling aroma there means God was pleased because Jesus offered not just a gift. He offered the right thing. Jesus was the right offering. So Abel brought the right offering. Hebrews 11:4. Abel brought the right offering. But the Bible says in Hebrews 11:4, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. Listen, what was God testifying of? His gift. What is the gift? A sacrifice. Thank you. God testifying of his blood sacrifice. Notice, please, don't get this wrong. Was God testifying of Abel? What was he testifying about? His sacrifice. I want you all to understand life. What does God testify of? What does he attest to? Blood sacrifice. And through it, he being dead still speaks. What speaks for Abel? Thank you. Abel's sacrifice was speaking. Why was Abel declared righteous? Because of his sacrifice. Why was Abel marked correct? Because of his sacrifice. Why was Cain not marked correct? Because his sacrifice was not correct. What makes us correct in life is our sacrifice. Genesis chapter 4, verse 5. Let me show you. Genesis chapter 4, verse 5. Look at what let's read from verse 3. From verse 4. Genesis 4:4. I want you to, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. A more correct rendering would have been, the Lord respected Abel because of his offering. In accordance with Hebrews 11:4. Are you getting me? Now verse 5. Verse 5, the Bible says, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Praise God. He did not respect who? Cain and his offering. You see, the offering is very important. The offering is very important. The offering is very important. The key word here is the offering. He did not respect Cain and his offering, and his countenance fell. Or let's put it this way, he was sad. Why was he sad? Somebody say, I know some of you say, well, because his offering was not accepted. Yes, that's correct. But let's meditate a bit. I believe his sacrifice was not accepted because it was not the right sacrifice. It wasn't the right sacrifice. Somebody say, well, but he didn't have a firstling. Maybe he didn't have a blood sacrifice. He should have converted his plant to a blood sacrifice. Please follow. That is not an excuse. If you know the meaning of their names, it will help you to appreciate why his countenance fell. Appreciate in context. Now, Cain is the first child. The name Cain means a man's man. I'm bringing it down to everyday language. You know when they say this person is a correct man? This is a man's man. This is a perfect man. He was intelligent. Hear me. Now, listen. You need more than acumen in life. You need more than looks. Your acumen and your looks can be a powerful tool, but it is not enough for appropriate worship. Cain is a man's man. Abel is who? Abel, the word Abel, Habel, actually means empty. Not too smart. So guess the issue. The not too smart fellow is the one who produces more result. Because throughout scripture, the way God's acceptance shows is in the results we produce. Read through scripture. Anytime the Bible says God has accepted a man, is that you begin to see the hand of God upon that man. Whatever the man does prospers. He gets results. They say, ah, of a truth, the hand of the Lord was with him. Killed Goliath. It was evident that the hand of the Lord was upon who? David. So anywhere people begin to produce results, you see that the hand of the Lord is upon him. Remember Nicodemus, John chapter 3. No one can do the things that you do except God be with him. That means if God accepts a man, you will see what? Results. Cain was seeing results in Abel's life that he wasn't getting. But on the outside, the person you will think is the person you would think should be getting the results that Abel was getting should be who? Should be Cain. Now, that is the reason for sadness. That's the reason his countenance fell. Every time you trace questions and you hear people ask, why do bad people live long? Why do good people suffer? You have to go beyond, are you listening now? You have to go beyond what you can see on the outside and see the way and manner they approach God. Because it does not work based on your righteousness. It works based on God's righteousness. I know something's going to happen to you this evening. Tell anybody, quit putting your confidence in your righteousness. Are we saying live your life anyhow, do things anyhow you want? No, we're saying you can't put your trust in it. The horse, the Bible says, is made ready for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Because in life, certain things are not of you. Certain things in life, you can get a job. Promotion only comes from God. Are you getting me? So certain things are exclusive to God. And you must understand that he's not stingy with those things. He's willing to give those things. So in verse 4, Genesis chapter 4. But Abel brought fat portions from one of his flock. The Lord looked with favor. You see? The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Next verse. I said you can read it this way. God looked with favor upon Abel because of his offering. Good. See, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Can you just give me my New King James? Amen. Give me verse 6. No, verse 5. And his countenance fell. Verse 6 now says, so the Lord said to Cain, see God. That means God wants things working. God wants things working in your life. So God said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, underline it. If you do well, will you not be accepted? Notice, he didn't say if you do your best. God doesn't want your best. He wants you doing well. There are two different things. You are not going to get that result because you do your best. You are going to get that result because you do well. There are two different things. You can do your best and not necessarily have done well. A brother offered to help me do something once, and I don't know, I just had this, I don't tell you what it was, but I just had this nagging feeling, you know? Have you ever been there? Someone wants to help you, it's genuine, but in your heart. So I reluctantly agreed. I said, okay, go ahead and do it. And guess what? By the time I came back, he didn't understand what I wanted him to do. He didn't have the right perspective. He worked so hard, but I was not pleased. Because he did his best, but he didn't do well. You are not going to live long because you eat the best meals. Am I saying it's not good to eat well? Eat healthy? No, you can't. Some years ago, a Premier League player died of cancer. And I was telling somebody, I said, oh, I don't think anybody in this room exercises like that person. So doing your best is not what makes the promises of God a reality in your life. It's doing well. If you do well, will you not be accepted? Acceptance is not based on doing your best. Acceptance is based on doing well. Now, give me the Amplified Bible. See what the Amplified Translation says. Now, hear this. Are we together? Listen to this. I said, understand this teaching you have made. If you do well, and look at how the New Amplified Translation puts it. He said, if you do well, believing me and doing what is acceptable and pleasing to me, are you with me? Will you not be accepted? What does it mean to do well? To do well is to do what is acceptable and pleasing to God. And what is acceptable and pleasing to God? Worship through a sacrifice. Come through a sacrifice. What was the difference between Cain and Abel? Cain came through what God rejected. When did God reject it? The same thing that his parents were using, fig leaves to cover themselves, is the same thing he was going to use to come before God. Abel came through what God instituted, not man's institution. Abel came through a sacrifice. Cain came through the traditional what? Came through the traditional worship of things made with man's hands. The Bible says, he said to him, if you do not do well, sin does what? Sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you to overpower you, but you must master it. Oh, good, no. How do you master sin? Through an acceptable sacrifice. The wages of sin is death. That means if you must master sin, something must die for it. You cannot master sin with a certificate. You cannot master sin with connections. You cannot master sin with your intellect. Sin can only be mastered through a sacrifice. This is what Cain did not understand. And a lot of times I've seen people who say, I have my acts in place. I know how to do this. I know how to do that. How come I'm not getting results? Is that, I've even heard people say, I pray. You don't get results because you just pray. What is the understanding with which you are praying? Is somebody getting it? You don't just get results because you just pray. Jesus talked about two people, a Pharisee and a sinner, who came to pray. How were they praying? How did the Pharisee start his prayer? He said, Lord, you know, I am a righteous man. I fast 2 times a week. Was he not praying? He was praying. So you don't get results just because you pray. You must pray with the right mindset. You must pray God's way. When Jesus was saying, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, what he was saying is that you must come through me. The other time I had to go and see somebody at the defense headquarters. So we used the wrong road. There's a road for colonels and higher ranks. So we just drove straight to the place. So they were polite. They were polite. The young officer just came and said, good afternoon, sirs. May I know you? I said, I'm Pastor Aaron Metokula. In that place, pastors don't matter. Are you with me? I said, I'm Pastor Aaron Metokula. He said, welcome, Pastor. But this is not your door. This is not your gate. You have to go round. He said, this gate is for colonels and higher ranks. Because he asked me, he said, who are you looking for? I said, but you can't pass through here. So we had to drive around and go to the other gate. When we came there, they did not allow me through. I sat somewhere, they said, who are you looking for? Then I called the name, they called the man, he sent somebody to come and pick me. Are you getting me? The moment somebody came to pick me in his name, I had access. A lot of us, we are on the wrong door, but we are really knocking. It's not because you are knocking. If you are praying with your own confidence, you have missed it. I've heard some prayers. Lord, you know I have done this, I have done this, I have done this, I have done this. If you and God begin to weigh your works on a scale, you have done nothing. I was talking to a friend recently, senior man of God, and he's in faith for his healing. And the first thing that came out of his mouth, he said, I got my tithe book, and I looked at my tithes and my offerings, and I said, Lord, I said, wow, something is wrong here. His tithes and offerings, they are good. He's done his best. But what God accepts is doing well. Tell anybody, don't do your best. Do well. If you do well, anybody that does well, regardless of who he is, whether you are intelligent or not, if you do well, you'll be accepted. Are you getting me? If you do well, you'll be accepted. Now, you've all heard Job's story, right? Let me tell you something about Job. Go to Job. Job 32. Job 31. Go to Job 31. This is Job talking with his friends, Elihu and co. And look at what Job said. You know, I've been studying the life of Job because Job is a perfect example of someone you would say does all the right things but doesn't get the right results. Job is a man that was so righteous. The Bible says if his children were having parties, he would be offering sacrifices. And guess what? He was just saying, just in case they have sinned. Job was a good man. God could even brag on Job's works. When Satan came in Job 1, know what he said? He said, have you considered my servant Job? A man who fears God, and I love the way King James put it, and eschewed evil. Job had clean records. So I began to wonder, how can this man's family be swept away, his wealth swept away? You see, now we read Job's story from the perspective of the Bible, so we know what was happening behind the scenes. If we're in Job's day and we're not reading with an understanding of what was going on behind the scenes, we'll say Job is cursed. We'll say, that Job, something has been pursuing him. It's not everybody that is going through something that did something wrong. Praise God. Job was having a conversation with his friends. And look at what Job was saying. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? Give me Message translation, verse 4. Isn't God looking, observing how I live? Doesn't he mark every step I take? Have I walked hand in hand with falsehood or hung out in the company of deceit? Weigh me on a set of honest scales so God has proof of my integrity. If I've strayed off the straight and narrow, you remember Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to God? Job said, if I've strayed off the straight and narrow, wanted things I had no right to, messed around with sin, go ahead then, give my portion to someone who deserves it. If I've let myself be seduced by a woman and conspired to go to bed with her, fine. My wife has every right to go ahead and sleep with anyone she wants to. You know how he's saying this? His wife left him for disgusting behavior like that. I deserve the worst punishment you could hand out. Adultery is a fire that burns the house down. Hear it, oh. I wouldn't expect anything. I can't dare to survive it. Have I ever been unfair to my employees when they brought a complaint to me? What then will I do when God confronts me? When God examines my books, what can I say? I want you to see Job's kind of person. Didn't the same God who made me make them? Aren't we all made of the same stuff? Equals before God. Have I ignored the needs of the poor, turned my back on the indigent? taken care of my own needs and fed my own face while they languished. That means these guys' staff were well paid. Not this minimum wage stuff that people are struggling with. Job did all the right stuff. Look at what it says. Wasn't my home always open to them? How many of you open your homes to your employees? Wow, very few. Good. Weren't they always welcome at my table? Do they come to your table? Have I ever left a poor family shivering in the cold when they had no warm clothes? Didn't the poor bless me when they saw me coming, knowing I'd brought coats from my closet? Amen. If I've ever used my strength and influence to take advantage of the unfortunate, go ahead. Job said, go ahead. If I've done any bad thing, go ahead. Break both my arms. Cut off all my fingers. Amen. The fear of God has kept me from these things. How else could I ever face him? Pause. Job was upright. So he was wondering, how could I have lived so right? And I'm suffering these things. See, the person that benefits from right living is not God. It's you. Should I say it again? The person that benefits from right living is not God, it's you. If you steal and they catch you, God will not go to jail. If you fornicate and the lady gets pregnant, are you getting me? God does not have a child. Are you with me? The person that suffers for wrong living is not God. It's you. So anytime God says something is not good, who is he protecting? It's you. Some say God doesn't want us to have fun. That's wrong. Amen. Oh, and listen to me. If I have to live right 1,000 times, I'd rather live right. I was telling Pastor and I were talking the other day. I said, look, there's less stress when you're living right. It's easier to do the right thing than to do the wrong thing. It's easier to wait for the light to change to green in 1 minute than to go and then the police flags you down. And then you have to run. And then you have to think of what lie to tell. It's easier to do the right thing. It's easier to have your car papers than to beg. Some would never renew their car papers. They say, which road do they stand on Monday? Okay, they stand here. We'll use the other road. Are you getting me? Just renew it. One time somebody met me, let me tell you the truth. Somebody met me and said, Pastor, you're paying too much. Yeah, I knew something was wrong with the metering of my house, you know, because I was paying like I was producing bread or something, like I had a company. I was paying excessively. So I was telling the guy that something must be wrong. There should be some faulty connection somewhere. He said, don't worry, there's something we'll do. So he came and, you know, just rerouted certain things. And I said, what are you doing? He said, no problem. You will not understand. I said, I need to understand what you're doing. He said, I have removed certain things from your meter. So when it's running, when they come, I saw the bill was small. Every day I see a Nepal van passing. Are they coming to the house? Don't sear your conscience, though. It's better to believe God and pay your bills than to cheat your way through it. Some say, if they catch me, God will deliver me. You see, but that's what we're saying. They will catch you first. So it's easier to do the right thing. It's easier to do the right thing. Anything you're doing and your heart is pounding and racing, just stop. But what we're saying is that you cannot use it. It doesn't stop evil. And let me shock you. It doesn't necessarily provoke favor from God if you don't understand how to do well. Do you get it? So in chapter 32, give me chapter 32, New King James. Oh, thank you, Lord. I believe somebody's alive here. For years, I thought that Job's greatest problem was that he had fear. That's what I thought, that all of Job's problem came because of fear. Until I began to look at redemption. And then I saw Job 32:1. Look at what it says. So these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. That's a problem. You see, there are two extremes to believing God. Either you come to a place where you don't even believe God exists, you don't care. Are you me? You feel you can live your life whether he's there or not. Or you tilt to the other extreme that says, I'm crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's. Both extremes are bad. Job's problem was that he put too much confidence in his own righteousness. He was offering sacrifices, but he didn't put his faith in the sacrifice. His faith was in the fact that, look, I take care of my employees, so nothing bad can happen to me. I've never done any bad thing, so no bad thing should happen to me. He was doing his best. But he was not doing well. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, of a family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused. Why? Because he justified himself rather than God. He justified himself. This is the core of Job's problem. Thinking that you have your way with life. Are you getting me? Because of your own ability. And it's a thin line because we easily slip there. And we can easily get offended when you hear people start saying, how come bad things happen to good people? That's life does not divide its equities on the basis of your being good. God's justice system is blood. Praise the Lord. Listen, there is no amount of good works that can measure up to God's standard. God's standard is too high to be met by any man. That's why the best you can do is your best. But your best is not good enough. Do you know the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 12 verse 3 that Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth? Yet Moses, when God was coming, do you know what Moses said? Moses said, I exceedingly quake and tremble. Meaning that even the best under the law could not face God because God's standard is too high. Isaiah says all of our righteousness are like menstrual clothes before God. Do not be right in your own eyes. See yourself in the rightness of Christ Jesus. So in Job 33, Elihu begins to speak. This is Job's friend now. Elihu begins to speak. Say, Job, why do you think you are too righteous? Can't you just look at the justice of God for once? Can't you see the mercy of God for once? Why are you just bragging the fact that you've never cheated your employees, you've never done this, you've never done that, as a means of coming out of this situation you found yourself? Perhaps, if you look at God's justice system, something could change in your life. Look at what they say. But please, Job, hear my speech and listen to my words. Are we together? Now I open my mouth. My tongue speaks in my mouth. Amen. My words come from where? And my lips utter pure knowledge. Amen. The Spirit of God. See, how is Elihu speaking? By the inspiration of God. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Now, do you notice the difference between Job's statement and Elihu's statement? Why one is full of self, the other one is full of what? It's full of God. If you can answer me, set your words in order before me. Take your stand. Now, let's go to verse 20. For sake of time, I won't read through everything. But Elihu begins to open Job's heart. That Job, see, I am God's spokesman to you. I'm speaking the voice of God to you. I need you to hear me. I'm the one speaking on your behalf to God, and God is speaking through me to you. He says, if a man suffers, if a man goes through anything and begins to, you know, gets to rock bottom in life, and there is no hope for him, there is a solution. Give me the Living Bible. Did you guys get it? Give me the Living Bible. Now, I had to get the Living Bible and project it, because the Living Bible explains what we want to look at. Look at what it says. He says, if a man becomes so broke, so sick, he becomes thin, mere skin and bones, and draws near to death. Hear this conversation. That means this is a man that I say is finished. Say, but if a messenger from heaven is there to intercede for him as a friend, to show him what is right, then God pities him and says, set him free. Do not make him die, for I have found a substitute. I think King James says, to show him God's uprightness. What was Job's problem? He couldn't see God's uprightness. He was so consumed with his own righteousness, he couldn't see God's uprightness. And Elihu was saying, look, if Job, all this suffering is not necessary, if you can find a man, it doesn't matter how ugly a man's situation is, if he can find a messenger from God that can show him God's uprightness. You look at it, say, if there's a messenger for him, a mediator, one among a thousand, to show man whose uprightness? Not your uprightness. Capital H. He's talking about God. To show him, to show man his uprightness, God's uprightness. Verse 24 says, then he is gracious to him. Oh, I love this. When you see the uprightness of God, you experience the grace of God. He says, then he is gracious to him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. A ransom is the answer. Where there is a ransom, you don't need to suffer. But to appreciate the ransom, you must see God's uprightness. So I know I'm going to live long and live strong because Jesus Christ has been raised for me. I know things are going to work for me in Abuja because Jesus Christ has been raised for me. God has found a substitute for all my sufferings in Abuja. So I'm not going to suffer like every other person. Why? God has found a substitute. And all I need is somebody that can show me that. I was sharing with Pastor Dio. I was believing God for something that has to do with millions. I was sharing the testimony with him yesterday. It has to do with millions. It's about 12 million naira. And I was talking with somebody not too long. And the person said, hey, Pastor Rame, so and so thing. What is it? What is it about? I was talking. While I was talking, he said, let me tell you. This month I'm working on something. When I'm done with this, it's a vow between me and God. He said, I will give you that money. He's not my church member. Listen, when you see God's uprightness, you will experience His grace. People will like you not for who you are. God will take your case. I mean, people will take your case personal. Why? Because the hustle and the failures that have come with your misgivings have been placed upon a substitute. That's why I said this message I tell you, God has found a what? A ransom. The reason Adam lived to 930 years is because one innocent animal was killed. Long life is not a product of good food. Long life is a product of a sacrifice. Even in our local meat, they say an old person, they say it's because younger people have been dying. That's how life works. Are you with me? It's life for life. It's not good for life. It's life for life. That's how to do well. It's always a guiltless person taking the place of the guilty person. That's why the greatest thing that can happen to you is to have someone teach you about the mercy of God. The greatest thing that can happen to you, you can have motivational teachers. Are you getting me? You can have great teachers, and thank God for people who teach. You can have excellent brand ambassadors and all that. But what eventually preserves you in life and gives you the extra edge in life is that man who can teach you God's righteousness. Deliver him from going down to the pit. So in Abuja, there is no fear. Amen. In this life, there is no fear. Amen. Someone say, what's your confidence? God has found a ransom. Say, He has found a ransom. So when I get into the presence of God praying, one of the first things I say is, thank you, Jesus. That's why prayer is powerful, when you begin worshiping God and telling of the sacrifice of Jesus. I begin to say, Father, thank you because all my sins are forgiven. You made him to be sin for me. Who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is before you lay any petition. So it's folly for you to say, Lord, I'm feeling these symptoms. Remember my tithes. Remember my this. Remember where I've been. I helped all those children. Lord, you know if I'm alive, I'm going to help more children. If you die, other people will help the children. God will reward what you do for him. But it is not the basis of prayer. It is not the basis of worship. There's a reward for it. But you must approach God the primitive way. I have found a ransom. Give me that Living Bible. He says, look at what he says next. He says, and when he prays to God, God will hear and answer and receive him with joy and return him to his duties. All because of a ransom. Next verse says, and he would declare to his friends, I sinned, but God let me go. That's my testimony. Another way to say that is that I didn't get what I deserve. I didn't get what I deserve. Abel didn't get what he deserved. And can I go further? Cain also didn't get what he deserved. Is what Cain deserved by natural standards that Abel got. And what Abel deserved by natural standard is what Cain got. That means the difference maker in life is our sacrifice. The difference maker in life is what we believe. The difference maker is how we see God, not our rightness. Since he would declare to his friends, I sin, but God, let me go. Next verse says, he did not let me die. I will go on living in the realm of light. Let me put it this way. Anyone who believes in the sacrifice of Jesus cannot see darkness. There is no such thing as, I started a business, it died. I started a church, it died. No. If you believe in the sacrifice of Jesus, you walk in the realms of light. Isaiah 60 says, thick darkness will cover the earth, even the people, but the glory of the Lord will be what? Will be seen upon you. Listen, this year, there's a clear difference. Amen. No, you didn't hear. I said there's a clear difference. Amen. There's a clear difference between the man who believes God and the man who doesn't believe God. When you share your testimonies, you will not look like it. They say, how did you get that house? How did he get that position? How did he get that job? How did you get into that place? How did he come out of that situation? There's a ransom. If God can get you to see, if a messenger from heaven can get you to see, redemption is sure. So I'm redeemed. Say, I'm redeemed. Psalm 89. As I round up this evening. It's not the finest preachers that have the greatest audience. It is the one that God approves. No, I have seen God. Psalm 89, are we there? Verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. He says, mercy and truth go before your face. Now look at what he says next. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Verse 14 says, righteousness and what? Justice. How many of you know God is a righteous God? And he's a just God. He is. You know, when we preach and we talk about the grace of God, people feel that grace is cheap. That grace just means you do anything, anyhow. No, don't just anyhow. That God is soft now. You know, that's what we feel. God is soft now. In those days, God was very tough. Now, he's no longer. No. Truly, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Through who? Through Christ Jesus. Sin must be punished. You know, when God told Adam that the day you eat of this fruit, you will die. In Genesis 2, he meant it. Someone said, how come he didn't die? Don't mistake it. He died. Because it is spiritual death that eventually gives birth to physical death. Adam was not created to die. And like I was telling them in Boko, the devil is not that intelligent. It took him close to 930 years to invent something that would kill Adam. But did Adam die? Yes. He fell into spiritual darkness. He died spiritually. He was disconnected from the life of God. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, give me Romans 5:12. Let me say something as I round up. Romans 5:12 Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. How did death enter the world? Through one man's sin. And thus, death spread to all men because all sinned. HIV, cancer, arthritis is not because you are a sinner. It's because one man sinned. Where there is sin, death follows. Where there is sin, death follows. Talking to someone today, I said, most of the places with thick demonic activities are the poorest zones in the world. Christianity is truly the light. The only thing villagers use in holding young people in town is the power to kill them. If you don't come to the village and do this, they will kill you. If that power was that powerful, how come the village has not changed? You understand what I'm saying? That's why it's actually a sad thing. If believers have more faith in what happens in the village than what the word of God have said. You say you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, but you can't joke with the words of elders. Then you need your mind renewed. In Bivungu is what? There is something known as the blessing. See, if you marry from this tribe, you will die. For what? Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. The villager's power is death. I'm not saying every villager is a, but we keep, I keep wondering how people who are in cities, when they want to do anything, they still have to go back to those small shrines. Glory. Death. Sickness is death. Poverty is death. Failure is death. It is a manifestation of death. Weakness is a manifestation of death. If you find yourself always tired, reject it. Some people are always tired. In the morning, they are tired. In the afternoon, they are tired. In the evening, they are tired. It's wrong. It's a manifestation of death. You sit somewhere, you have slept off. You anywhere you go, you have slept off. You are brain dead. You know, you are not alert. Have you heard some people talk? No. I reject death. I am quick. I am sharp. I'm alert. Thank God for life. No, I say thank God for life. As we walked through the hospital there, you know, I went to see somebody at the hospital, and as we're coming out, I said, God, thank you for, you know, in my heart, I just said, thank you for life. I'm very alive. I don't fall sick. I'm healed. I'm not the most righteous person, but I have the most righteous sacrifice. I never forget that. Good things happen to me in this Abuja. And they're happening to me because I have mastered death. Somebody say, I have mastered death because there's a sacrifice for me. God said to Cain, sin lies at your door. His desire is to have it, but you must have mastery over it. The way to master death is understanding a sacrifice. A brother in church here, listen, wickedness is real in this life. Some people are not even happy that you're happy. You know, the truth. Death lies everywhere. 1 John 5:19, the Bible says the whole world as we see it lies in what? In spiritual wickedness. There is death outside that door. Do you know the only place there is no death? Where we are. If not any other space you move into, there is death. That's why it's absurd for anybody to approach anything in life without a sacrifice. Death will have its way in your life. Have you heard some Christians say, but I'm born again now. I'm born again. Now that I'm born again, these things are still happening. You must take a stand. This brother called me and said, Pastor, I need to see you. I was sharing the cave. He applied for a contract in this Abuja. First of all, to get the contract, the man they went through now told them that the people that come for this contract, they do things so you are children. They say they do things so you are children. Well, I can submit your proposal. The first thing was that the contract went through. You know, you see anywhere you see hundreds of millions, certificate doesn't work there. Certificate can work for 30K, 100K, 200K. Are you getting me? when you enter into the realms of millions, English doesn't work there. Let me stop. If you like brand everything, they will look at the paper and say, what kind of color is it? Remove this nonsense from my front. I know what I'm telling you. There are realms that are exclusive in life. So you see all those CEOs wearing powerful suits and everything. If you see where they dance, if you see where they worship, it looks primitive. You want to run for governor, you go and print poster. You are determining which way your hand should go. You are wasting your time. You are wasting your time. You think it's by poster. You go and bring someone from US, you tell you put your hand like this. They need to see that you value time. When you gum that poster, guess what they will say? He's showing us his wristwatch. Let's see who will vote him. That's not how he operates. I believe in branding. I believe in doing things. Well, hear me, people of God. Don't be naive. Get up and pray. You can't. Sorry for you. They are talking about sacrifice. You can't just be following woman all your life. Are you with me? And think you can go and submit papers and things will be working. Jesus said, if you want to take over a strong man's house, you must first of all bind that strong man. You must bind him. That means there are strong men everywhere. Then you'll be talking like Job. I pay my staff well. I invite them to dinner with me, to come and eat with me. It's not enough. Guess what happens there? Every time they approve the people to give the set of contracts, when it comes to their turn, their fire will miss. The file will miss. They will say the file is there. They will even tell them that we submitted your files. He said, anytime we come in, they will call us, come in and assure us. The guy will even be confused. Say, boy, the fire was here yesterday. When fires begin to melt like wax, and they are real manifestations of demonic works, the first thing the devil can do is to convince you that him, the devil, doesn't exist. Is it not the last U.S. election that they put a picture of John Podesta? And he was a cult, demonic, this thing that over any office he moves to, you will see that office facing his table. You will see that Church of Satan symbol facing his table. You'll be there saying, America, they've only digitalized the way the jazz is done. One day I was with someone and we were looking how some witches in U.S. got together chanting Trump's name. You see, when Oyibo is doing his jazz, you call it Solist Equinox. Are you getting me? When they are doing it here, they say Shawuru. Are you with me? It's the same thing they are saying in different ways. So you can't approach life being naive like Cain. So I spoke to this brother. I said, I want to talk to you about the justice and the mercy of God. I said, bring your fire. He came. I said, put this fire here. I read 2 Kings 3 to him, the scripture God gave us this year. I said, what 700 professionals will not do, one drop of blood will settle. I brought communion elements. We broke bread over it. He was in church. How many of you were here during single barren? That was the day it happened, though. He said, Pastor, they found our file on Sunday. On Sunday, not Monday, on Sunday. He said, on Sunday, they said we should come. The man said, come now, come now, come. It's a United Nations contract. He was telling Kaveh, he said, that Pastor Rome, I've been hearing about him, he's a strong man. So I told Kaveh, I said, it's not about strong man, no. If you have a messenger to show you God's uprightness, then he will deliver him from going to the pit. I am a messenger that shows men God's uprightness. People ask, why do some get healed and others don't get healed? I don't have the answer, but I have one answer. Anybody who sees that sacrifice will live. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, John 3:14, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. Jesus, I mean, have you ever been at a park where they bring all those medicine that cure every disease? Waist pain, no. Eye pain, no. Leg pain, no. They drink one shot. Are you getting me? Jesus is stronger than those things. Head pain, or neck pain, or family problem, or marital problem, there's one answer. Amen. It's the sacrifice of Jesus. It doesn't matter how you are headed. See, there are exclusive buildings in this town. Blood will put you there. Amen. I know I have a few believing folks here. That's how to do well. There are places that you are standing right now. No matter how hard you work, nothing will bring you there. Haven't you seen people who have connections and connections could not get them to some places? A guy told me that in this Abuja, his elder brother, well connected, could not get him a job. So anytime he complains, the guy will give him 300K, 400K, we'll give him money. I said, where the guy goes, it's not for everybody to come. Exclusive places are through ransoms. I was teaching blood money somewhere. And someone asked me, said, Pastor, are you saying that if somebody does not, without blood, somebody can be extremely rich? I said, yes. I said it, I'm not the one. I said, if you don't pay with the blood of another, you'll pay with your own. Behind every great what? Is what? Great sacrifice. So the justice of God, hear me, demands that sin must be punished. That's what scripture is saying. If you remove the justice of God, then the very foundation of God's existence is destroyed. I love something God showed me. Do you know why God could legally give Jesus? See, everything you see in the Bible is legally done. There is nothing you read in the Bible that is not a legal process. Do you know why God could legally give Jesus? Because a man legally gave his son to God. That's why it's a balanced covenant. Because God asked Abraham, go to Mount Moriah and offer Isaac as a burnt offering. Abraham did it. That's why God was too excited. Meaning that if a man can do this for me, because in a covenant, each parties must be willing to exchange their strengths and weaknesses. If a man can do it for me, I can do it for a man. Everything is legal. Everything is legal. As a baby Christian, I used to wonder, after Adam ate the fruit, God, just forgive him now. Why did he pay you like that? No. There's a legal process. And you know how the law works. The law is not there for everybody. It's to catch somebody. if Pastor Steve breaks traffic light, oh, let me tell you something that happened to me in this Abuja. Somebody used one road that was wrong. And I didn't know where we were going, so they said I should drive behind him. I should follow the person. It was Mrs. Achiata. I think she was with us that day. So the guy leading us wanted to, I said, is that way correct? They said, but that's the way. As the guy drove, he passed. As we were coming up, police was coming. I just said, God, they just said, park. You can't start saying, but that other person too broke the law. The law is not there to catch everybody. The law is there to catch somebody. Don't be the person. So you can't say everybody is stealing money. They've not caught the person. It's you. Mrs. Achiata was just stammering. I said, calm down, calm down. I told the man, I said, look, what we did is not right. It's wrong. He said, so how are we going to settle it now? I said, by showing mercy. I said, you will show mercy. He said, but it's not you. I said, look, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. I can pray for you. The man says, because you are a pastor, I'm letting her go. I said, give me the car keys. Amen. Needless to say, it was a wedding reception. I didn't go again. I was almost arrested. Are you getting me? If they almost arrest me for your wedding, forget it, I'm done. There's justice. That's what Romans 3 says, that in this present, that God will demonstrate his justice. Jesus coming and dying for us is the justice of God. If I take Pastor Steve's tab, and as I'm playing, I mistakenly break it, sorry is good enough, but sorry doesn't mean there's another tab. For there to be another tab, somebody has to pay. That's justice. Do you understand? I might not be the one paying, but for there to be another tab, someone has to pay. What Adam spoiled, sorry couldn't correct it. Somebody has to pay. But Adam couldn't pay. Do you get it now? That's why Jesus came to pay. Thank you, Lord. That's why Jesus came to pay. Look at what that Psalm 89 verse 14 says. He says, justice and praise Lord. No. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. Then he says, mercy and truth go before your face. What is mercy and truth? Jesus Christ. John 1:17. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. Hallelujah. What is mercy and truth? What is the mercy and the truth that goes before the face of God? Mercy and truth, when the Bible says mercy and truth, goes before. The word goes before is the word, Psalm 89:14. The word to go before is the word propitiation. That means mercy and truth is the propitiation that goes before God. That's what it means to go before. Jesus goes before. Thank you, Lord. Some years ago, I went to the village. And I learned a very important lesson I will not forget in a hurry. A little boy insulted me. So I began to chase him. So he ran behind this older man and stood there. So I came behind the older man and I gave him a slap. Before I could give him the second slap, the old man held me and gave me pow. So I was, think then I should be around 10, 11. I was angry. So I said to the old man, you don't even know what he did to me. As I was talking, he gave me a second slap. So I started crying. The cry was not because he was beating me. The cry was the pain of injustice. That I'm the one who is offended and I'm the one they are beating. And this man is not willing to hear me out. So I started shouting. He held his hand. Then somebody screamed that, please, Baba, Baba, leave him, leave him, leave him. He's from the city. He now said, no wonder. She looked at him. Eat dada. I said, fool, foolish boy, stupid boy. So this my uncle came and said, somebody is standing behind an elder. And you are going to beat the boy person. That the moment he went behind the elder, are you getting me? Anything he did wrong. He said, what? You know why the man was beating you? He said, because it's the elder that you knocked. I said, but it's the boy that got me angry. He said, but he ran behind an elder. It happens in my village always. Anytime a guilty person runs behind an older person, judgment is averted. You know why? That old man now becomes the propitiator. Propitiation. That's what mercy seat means. To go before. So when the Bible says mercy and truth goes before God, it means Jesus goes before the Father on our behalf. This is why God doesn't punish us for our wrongs. Not because we have not done wrong. It's because Jesus has paid the price. He has reached to the foundation, met the legal demands of justice, and he can now stand. That's why 1 John 2 says, if we sin, I did not write this to you that you may sin, but if any of you sin, we have what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous. Hallelujah. You have a ransom. The moment you open your mouth and you say, in Jesus' name, guess who is standing before the Father on your behalf? Jesus. Father, we give you praise. That's how life works. Lift your hands up to heaven, amen. And receive tonight. Father, we bless you. Just worship God, amen. Father, we give you praise. He's the propitiation for our sin. Just give him praise. Receive this night, you know. If he's healing, whatever it is, you can receive from God right now. The justice, the legal requirement. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Malabano Zandara Bracado Seala. Manglabado Zegaliban. I say to do well is to believe. This is how we believe. Mankalabranta Zotea. Labranto Zorabaka Shapranta Zakalaban. Linglato Sataya Lebretto Sabracalabra Calaban. Imbranto Sufregato Sacalabra Calabra Calaban. Imbranto Sufregato Sacalabra Calaban.
Worship the Lamb of God.
Thank you for listening. Messages are absolutely free. For downloads, please visit us at www.christfamilyministries.org. That's www.christfamilyministries.org, or call 090-300-00413 for info on ministry materials. It's one gospel, one faith, reaching one person at a time, and together we're filling the earth with the beautiful message of our Lord Jesus Christ, presenting every man mature in Him.